Whoops, were we on the air then? I think we were.
Tom.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, you're helping over there with the chairs. Hi. Well, you want to introduce our guests, Ellen?
Sure.
Ooh, there's a buzz.
But we don't have enough headphones here. You know, it's always like this, total chaos, but...
Well, we also don't have our intern here today to...
Bob, that you can speak on that mic, but you have to get really close to these mics.
Okay. Yeah, so, you got to get real close. And Ellen's got to share with... would you introduce our guest, Ellen?
I will. Now you made me forget her name. No. Kim Bach is with us, the owner and proprietor of Verdigris Tea and Chocolate Bar. I love the chocolate part better than the tea part, I think. I don't have to make a choice, though. Good. Okay. And Bob Lucky, who is the owner and chef and chief bottle washer at the Cascades, a little deli cafe in the middle of Hudson.
Now, Ellen, before you start, you know, I claimed I never listened to the show when I was off the air, but I did believe you had Ms. Bach on before.
I did, but there's always more to be said.
Are you just trying to hustle some free chocolate and a sandwich afterwards over at Cascades?
Never hurts.
No. Okay, let's start with letting our audience know how long you've been in business and what kind of business it is, and then from there we can talk about how is business, you know. So, Kim, let's start with you and. This mic might be closer.
Yeah.
Let us know just how long.
And with those horrible mics, you got to get like right on top of them, like that.
How long you've been in Hudson and why you came to Hudson and all of that. What's your history here?
Wow. It's pretty personal, Ellen.
That is pretty personal. well, Verdigris Tea started 9 years ago. We're in our 10th year. We are in our second location as we started where Fish and Game is now. It's our first location. And
I remember when that building was up for sale.
Yeah. It was... the only reason we left there was because the building was a bit too much for what I had envisioned to begin with. I always just wanted to be a tiny little tea shop, and we became a cafe, bakery, tea shop, bed and breakfast.
That's what you did with upstairs? You had the bed and breakfast?
We did. I still have people come into the store and say, oh, we used to stay in your bed and breakfast and go down in the middle of the night and get chocolates, which was... not a thing they should be doing.
Yeah. Damn, if I'd known, I wouldn't have stayed at the country squire in those days. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Why did you give me that look, Ellen? Did I do something wrong?
No, I was questioning country squire. You stayed at the country.
Before we owned a house, yeah.
Oh.
It was a long time ago.
So that's where Verdigris started.
I can't believe you've been here for 10 years. That's amazing. And at one point, the chocolate bar was down on Front Street, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chocolate bar was going to be a little pop-up shop that was going to last through one winter season, and it ended up being there 9 months. But the good thing about the chocolate bar is it was a prototype to kind of convince me that chocolate could go into the tea shop, and it has been a marriage made in heaven for the last
tea and chocolate.
4 years. 3 years.
Coffee? Do you have coffee there, too?
Coffee, espresso, chocolate drinks, cold chocolate drinks, you name it.
And
do you hang out there, Ellen?
Incredible pastries.
Obviously. I guess you answered the question with that.
I occasionally hang out there, yes.
Yeah?
That's
do you have a little coffee clatch? A tea clatch?
No. I'm sorry?
You don't knit. We have a knitter.
Oh, they have a knitter thing going on. When is that? When can you go knit there?
Thursdays from 6 to 8.
I think they call those, Ellen, stitching bitches. not that the women are bitches. They stitch and bitch.
Stitch and bitch.
Yeah.
There's something now called Lushes with Brushes.
Lushes and Brushes, right over here on
started out
Columbia and 8th Street Corner. That sounds good. You know, because it's like, hey, I'm sick of this painting. Let's get loaded. Right? Something like that. I bet you weird stuff happens there, too, right?
Don't be looking at me. Do I know? So Bob.
Oh, we're going to switch to Bob already?
Yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah. Well, and do you have a question for Kim?
Well, I was kind of curious about the new antique business in one of your other buildings. And as far as will you let her actually have the microphone, Ellen? I know you like to control the show. You are a bit of a control freak. Uh-oh. Sorry. I just got chewed out. That you own the building that Relish, the empty space, and the antique store, that whole little strip there.
Yes.
And I see there's now a window.
There is a window. There's doors. There's windows. And Paul Dorman, who has Cottage Treasures at L&B, has expanded into what I'm calling the pole barn. And
he has the whole barn?
He has the whole barn.
Wow.
He has the entire barn. And he came in. He must have taken out 10 dumpsters full of junk out of that pole barn and steam cleaned it and has moved more of his antiques in there. And it's really exciting to go into. It's beautiful.
Well, I was in there when Dan Seward had part of it.
Oh, yes.
Is that some of the junk that had to be discarded?
Yes. Not Dan, but his.
Right. No, no. God forbid, Dan. He's, you know, great host here. One other question, Ellen, before you pull away the mic. What's going into that little empty space?
Well, I don't think I'm too premature in saying that the brewery, the Hudson Brewery, which is in the L&B, is having a tasting room
right. That
should be opening up pretty soon there. So that whole Front Street segment
cool. Across
from the train station is really coming together.
I know. Now if we could just get a certain individual to clean up his buildings, we'd be in great shape.
Yeah, well, let's not name names.
No,
but I
don't name names. Never name names.
Okay, Mr. Lucky. Who was here in Hudson long before the rest of us.
Yeah, not trying to be too long-winded, but my first introduction to the Hudson was we started at the St. Charles Hotel where we had the restaurant and bar for 4 years. And that was 88 to 92. And then I worked for 1 year for a company you guys may have heard of called Ginsburg's Food.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for a year. Then we opened the Cascades in 1993. And now we just celebrated 22 years this past September. And things are good. It's been pretty remarkable transformation for Hudson. And if you wait long enough, good things do
mm-hmm.
happen. And it's been.
You raised two lovely daughters here?
Yes. We
went to the Hudson School, through the Hudson School system?
Yes, we moved here with a 4-week-old daughter. My wife showed up here in Hudson sight unseen. I gave her pictures of all the nice neighborhoods and churches and she thought she was sold and probably didn't know what Hudson looked like back in 1988.
A really important question. Did you vote for me in this last election? No, I'm kidding. You don't have to answer that.
Three times.
Three. Excellent.
It still didn't win.
That was just a joke. The three times part.
Well, now to the present day. I mean, both of you have seen a lot of changes, as we all have. I guess, Tom, you've seen changes too. No. How long have you been here?
I forgot.
Believe that.
I've seen changes. Yeah, I've seen changes. We've all seen changes. You're right. The big change in my time, which is only of owning a house for 8 years, but coming here for 10 or 12, has been the influx of younger people.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really quite amazing. And then, of course, you know, the tourists.
Go Etsy.
Yeah. And, you know, just the tourist aspect just seems to grow and grow and grow. I mean, you walk down Warren Street on a Saturday, and it's like, who are these people? As Jerry Seinfeld used to say. Do you open on Saturdays?
You're open on Saturdays. Yes, yeah. We're closed on Sundays.
Do you get a big influx of people?
It's been a slow growth on Saturdays over the years because for the most part of our 22 years, it's been a very strong local crowd. That's and Saturdays and Sundays. We were open Sundays early on. But we closed about after 5 years after being open on Sundays. And there's always Saturday was the slowest day, but now Saturday is a player. It's as good as most of our weekdays. And that's changed in the last probably 3-4 years.
I'm going to ask you one controversial question. A council member at one meeting used your name to say that during one of the parades on a Saturday, your business fell off dramatically. Was that accurate?
It's off, but not dramatically.
Okay.
But to be fair, I did kind of wonder if there is another way of doing mm-hmm. things, and just for conversation, nothing more, to see what's out there. And people kind of came to, you know, gave their opinions, and they want to keep it the way it is.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
That is sort of how it resolved itself.
Right.
Most people just said, no, they're going to stay. But, you know, the funny thing is, at the same time, the police I mean, the police chief has noted that, you know, with every parade, there is a necessary expenditure of city tax dollars.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that it should stop the major parade, but every little thing on Warren Street requires overtime and shutting off streets. And at some point, he was saying their budget can't hold it, can't withstand that. You know, it's just they won't have the money to be able to support these endless parades.
I think the law for mass gatherings allows the city to charge the producer of the event with some, you know, some of those costs. But I don't think it ever happens.
No,
it doesn't happen.
It doesn't. And they're trying to work on that somehow.
I think they have to weigh the value of the event and how many people it brings, or is it really promoting the city?
And what it costs.
I know with Winter Walk, an event that I know pretty well.
Is that because of your association with the Opera House?
Yes. That's
true. Every time we do this show, Ellen plugs the Opera House. That's all right. It's not a conflict of interest. It's not like you're getting free chocolate or something.
Now I've lost my train of thought.
Oh, sorry. I didn't
free opera.
Free opera.
But I know that people do, because it's a crowded event usually, or has become like that, and people go into shops and say, save that for me. I'll come back tomorrow. I don't want my, don't tell my wife or whatever. Buying it for the girlfriend, I guess. I don't know. But
I wouldn't know anything about that. That's disgraceful.
So Hudson is kind of on an upswing right now, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yes, I'd say in the last 3 or 4 years, there's been a noticeable increase on an annual basis. It really just seems to, in my opinion, foot traffic is growing, and it reflects in business, too. We've had really a couple of remarkable years, and so far I don't see anything changing that equation.
Great. Do you find it that way?
Definitely so. I just watch my numbers climb and climb. But also going back to the hours, the days that were open, for me, I think Bob and I have different kinds of businesses, but Saturday is my biggest day. Saturdays and Sundays are my biggest days of the week. And to me, it's that I get the tourists coming up from the train. I get them.
They love their fancy chocolate, those tourists.
They love their tea time, their chocolates. So my Saturdays and Sundays are 4 times busier than...
But they should know if they want a simple ham sandwich, right. Cascades is the place to go.
We can do more than simple
ham. Well, I'm just saying, as opposed to, you know, you're not doing the whole artisanal blah, blah, blah type stuff.
Well, and we get asked that question a lot. You know, I love what you have, but where can I eat? So we get to send people to all kinds of places.
Has the closing of Earth Foods affected your business a little bit?
It did on the early, I think the first or 2 weeks where people maybe didn't know different places to go. So we kind of, it was maybe the go-to place. But it's kind of dispersed itself. It's still busy, but it's, I wouldn't say noticeable, but I know it's there. And it's, another restaurant is slated to go in there, and we'll see how that goes. But I talked to a lot of restaurant owners, and everybody seems to be doing fine on their own. So I think the high tide floats all boats, and I think that's what we're in right now.
Also, there's Tansy's and Bruno's are sort of lunch places too now.
I'm not familiar with that. I've never heard of those.
Tansy's you haven't heard of?
He's pulling your leg, Alan, like I do all the time. Sorry.
It's catching, I guess.
Exactly.
At any rate, well, the rising tide, the rising tide has swept Verdigre sort of across the river, and it would be interesting hear what brought that about.
A moment of insanity, maybe? I bought a little building in Catskill, and then I managed to just mention to somebody who was standing in the building, wouldn't this floor be a perfect place for a little Verdigre? And before I knew it, everybody in Catskill was calling me up. I hear you're coming to Catskill. So I couldn't back out at that point.
So basically you're building a real estate empire as well as a business empire.
No.
No? That's it? We've covered it all?
That's it.
Okay.
Maybe I could have said yes to that a few years back when I had a little bit of an empire, but yeah. I've been cutting back and just have a little empire
get
now.
It. So the space, is there anything above the shop? It was a
building that had three law offices in it, and so the bottom floor will be the tea shop. There'll be an office space on the second floor and an apartment on the third floor.
Oh, nice.
Tiny, tiny little
Your
floor.
Classic mixed use.
Yes, yes.
Good. That's great. So what's in your future, Bob? Are you going to expand further? Are you going to do anything
It's always
entrepreneurial?
It's always a possibility. But right now, I think we talk about every year, and it just doesn't seem to get anywhere. But opening on Sundays would probably be, if we do anything more, it would be just opening on Sundays.
It's just working harder? That's not the way to do it.
Find somebody else to work harder, too.
Oh, okay.
But it's not always easy to do that, too. Yeah, so, but that would be probably, people have always asked about opening evenings. That's not that there has to be a lot of transformation inside the restaurant itself to make that happen. And
I don't think there anybody now on Warren who's open for three meals. No, I don't think there is. Is there?
That's a good question. Okay. I don't believe there is.
I mean, the ones who do often do breakfast and lunch have often tried to do dinner and just found it overwhelming. I remember when actually Earthwoods tried it. Yeah. Le Gourmand tried it. It's just too much.
It is too much, yes. And again, it does require a whole different set of skills and menus. Mm-hmm. And if I was probably 10 years younger, maybe it was something I might want to try. But now I'm just going to kind of keep doing what we're doing. And we do a fair amount of catering, which really kind of does keep some of the empty times busy. And then Sundays, we'll keep looking at it.
So are you going to wait till the buildings on Warren go for like $3 million before you sell out?
About 1.5. I don't want to get greedy.
It's really unbelievable, right?
No, I mean, it's exciting. And we bought back in the day when buildings were pretty inexpensive. So it's a nice thing to have. And again, waiting that long is nice to see something mm-hmm. that people come to join us. Because I've always said when we first opened, I spent a lot of money to drink coffee and read the New York Times because I was very alone many mornings when we first opened up. But in the first couple of years, it was tough. You did look in the mirror and say, "What the heck did you do?" Because it was scary. And
were you living upstairs at the time?
No, we lived off in Hudson still, but not there. But it took a while, and you had to persevere. And you kind of max out your credit cards a little bit because it was a little scary. But you had to keep going, and hopefully it turned around, and it did.
And you made the full commitment. I mean, you lived in Hudson. You raised your kids there.
Right, yeah. They both went from kindergarten to high school through the Hudson school districts.
It's so kind of cute. When anybody wants to defend the Hudson school system, they always point to Bob's kids.
Yeah.
Which is sweet,
Not to plug them, but they both went to Cornell.
Right.
Well, at least one of them was a valedictorian.
Yes, the youngest was a valedictorian, yes.
Cool.
So there you go.
Yeah. When did you first get here, Kim?
I was one of those city transplants that bought a little place in Hillsdale.
One of those Hillsdale types. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And when my mother at 80 years old decided to close her tea shop, she said, "Do you want it?" And I couldn't get tenure at the job that I had. So
I suspect that was an academic job.
That was an academic job.
What was it?
I was a professor at Long Island University in Brooklyn.
What subject?
In media arts.
Oh.
So when my mother said, "Do you want my tea shop?" She had had it for 18 years in a ski resort,
Utah?
Park City, Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said yes, and I thought, I don't want to do this in New York City. And I started looking around, and everyone kept saying, "Oh, go into Massachusetts, go here, go there." And I kept looking in Hudson. Hudson just kept calling me, and so 10 years ago, that's what brought me to Hudson, and now I live over my tea shop in Hudson.
Yeah.
I sold out of Hillsdale. And
good for you.
Love being a Hudsonian.
Exactly. Boo Hillsdale.
But,
no.
but
we can't. We're always accused of being too Hudson-centric here at the station.
But it is funny with Kim's story about she just Hudson pulled her. And I think Ellen can say the same thing. There's been so many people I've met over the years that just being here, they go, "Well, I have to be here." And
exactly.
They kind of just moved to Hudson and they opened a shop. And there's several businesses that have been here for a long time, and I said, "How'd you find it?" But we're here on a weekend or what have you, and we love the town, and we decided to want to make a life here, and it's been very exciting, and I think most of those people are still here.
Yeah, my wife and I started coming because my best friend at the time opened a store on Warren Street. We are actually here the weekend. He sort of found the building and thought, "Hey, this would be a great place to move his business. That's Hudson City Books. He's since passed away. But, you know, it drew us here. And then the more time I spent here visiting, it was just like, this is so nice. We're going to move here.
Most of my friends, when I started looking in Hudson, kept saying, Hudson, really?
I had that experience too, you know. And it was very strange. And then I looked at the people who were saying it and realized they just didn't get it. You know, they're not people who appreciate what's going on here, really.
No, I was advised to stay away from Hudson. It's dangerous.
But you know, that's different. Because you flirt with danger. I know you.
Not true. yeah, and people talk about the Hudson vibe. I can't quite.
I used that word in my campaign. I'm actually in an article in the local paper when they were interviewing us for the campaign.
Really?
I used the word vibe.
Tell us the context.
Well, it was just the last phrase. I mean, I hate to quote myself. Yeah, right. I said it was a small town with a cosmopolitan vibe.
Oh, there you go.
A small city with a cosmopolitan vibe.
But I was talking to a woman just today. She has a B&B and or Airbnb, and she was telling me that she mostly rents to young people who come off the train, and they have a great time when they're here in Hudson. I mean, they come back and say they had a fabulous time, and I guess so. There's finding plenty of things to do, and there's a pretty active nightlife, and shops are vibrant. So I think, you know, for a weekend stay, it's a great place to be.
If you're down near one of Kim's buildings near the train station on a Friday evening, it's unbelievable. I mean, not only are there people from the outer places in the county being picked up, but the people just climbing that hill with their bags is just, it's amazing amount of people. Yeah. And as we both know, as Ellen pointed out last week on the show, we're the third most used train station in the city. I mean, in the state of New York.
In the state.
After Manhattan and, after Grand, Penn Station and Albany. So that tells you something, too. But the young thing is really cool because my daughter did not like it when she started coming here. I was like, Daddy, how are you guys, why would you buy a house here? And then at some point, I think it was the show Gossip Girl or something like that, a character who was very hip had a house in Hudson. And all her friends were like, oh, you have a house in Hudson? You know, and suddenly became hip. And now she loves it. She's going
to
get married.
My girls always want to get back up here because when they were here and they're young, in their teens and early 20s, it wasn't quite as hip.
Right.
Now, it's a matter of 5-6 years later. They always hear more about Hudson away from Hudson than when they're here in Hudson.
Yeah.
And they always want to come back and spend some time here.
Well, you know, even adults, older people come here as a getaway, I'm told. The B&Bs. Have people who it's kind of like Hudson is now a destination. You just go and hang out, you know, have a nice dinner, do whatever, walk the streets, I suppose.
Maybe
take a little
trip up to Alana on a Saturday.
Yeah. And I see more tour buses now.
Yes, those are a little scary sometimes because all of a sudden you see one parked down the street and you go, where are they going for lunch? And all of a sudden you walk in and, where they are.
Wow. Yeah, that'll throw you off.
Did you happen to have encountered the busload of women from Dallas, Texas? I'm told they were all blonde and all rich.
Well, I hope so.
I wish you'd called me about that.
I
get my gigolo on. Sorry, I don't even know what that
means.
Anyway,
well, so is this prosperity going to last is the question in my mind. I used to think it was kind of scary because... Is this just going to be another boom and then wait for the bus to come?
I don't see how that happens, Ellen. I mean, the housing market could decrease at some point, but I don't see how it could bust. I mean, there's just too much money invested here for to just go bust.
That's what I was thinking. If you look in the last 5 years, you know, and I'll probably miss a few of the bigger renovations, but if you look at the Barlow, the Rivertown Lodge, Helsinki, Basilica, Farmers and Sons recently.
Right.
I mean, those are not just fly-by-night operations.
Right.
They're sinking roots into the town, and there's several other ones that I'm sure we could think of. But those are meaningful. They mean something because they're here for the long term.
Right. I think the hardest thing is the small entrepreneurial startup of somebody who doesn't have a lot of money. You know, that's a harder thing. Because, I mean, just take the example of the person we mentioned earlier, Dan Seward. You know, he basically started with just a bunch of junk. and moved from five different locations. And now he's pretty. He's got a very stable shop now over on Warren Street.
The record store.
The record and books and other stuff. And, you know, it's harder to get a business like that going where you don't have endless resources the way some of these
right.
other
Well, rents places. Are becoming a little bit of a problem for yeah. startups, too. It's
the only hope here, he said as a politician, is to get some of these things to start moving into the, you know, the side streets and the and streets like
That's
Columbia
happening.
Right here.
And Green Street, you know.
And Green Street, yeah. It's too bad Green Street is just so ugly. But that's, you know, that might change, too.
It might. It might indeed. Well, because, you know, Hudson has a history of boom and bust, apparently.
Yeah, but that's
Ellen,
when
bust
it was,
and boom.
But that's when
it
was relying on single industries that that go out of style or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole different kind of economic model.
But the proprietors weren't here all that long. I mean, the people who founded the town and the whaling industry went down. Well, there you go. There was mm-hmm. an industry.
But in the last 20 years, if you kind of watch how real estate's gone, it's people who've gone into Hudson and purchased four or five buildings and sat on it for 2 years and left. But the people who are buying now, they're renovating.
Right.
You don't renovate through the kind of renovations you're doing
right.
now and sell
right.
it next year.
Right.
So I think that's what's changed, because there were people who bought
four or five. Yeah.
Right. And it's much harder to try to come right. and flip something now because the initial investment's just too high.
Well, now we have Eric Galloway, who's buying a lot of property.
Still, I
but
think
in
it's
the
kind
past,
of leveled
off. There was always a person like that. I've heard of some. When I came, I bought the house that belonged to, I can't think of his name right now, but the man, it was part of a sort of syndicate of people who purchased the Opera House and a whole lot of other property in Hudson. And then moved on, flipped it, or, you know, sold it and
correct, yeah.
and left.
Yes, mm-hmm. I don't think, and Eric Galloway, I don't think what he's doing is trying to be flipping buildings
no.
anytime soon. Maybe not get to him as soon as we all
well,
like, but he's not
flipping
them. Fortunately,
he's finally renovating things. That's
yes,
the
well,
great
he's
news.
He's my neighbor now, and
yeah.
he's doing a great job getting moving. And
Oh, that's right. You're next to that 405.
Yeah,
yeah,
so I'm pretty excited to see how it's going to end up.
He's also my neighbor because the across the street, the old Brusso building. Which
that's
is
right.
Now,
and as Ellen knows, we hope to get.
We're
in touch with them. They're going to come on the show. We want to hear their whole plan.
Yeah.
I called them. It's pretty much half of their operation is going to move to that space, which is significant. They're a good small publisher.
Yeah.
You know, actually, a big small publisher, which you know.
And we've already seen many of them coming in for tea and coffee.
Yeah, I looked in the window, see all the stuff that they've already brought in. And then there's four rentals upstairs. All of them, two of them are Camp Hill people, and two are affordable housing, you know, where people, which is not Section 8, but where you have to have a certain income level, and but you can't go above. And,
uh-huh.
And I believe our own lovely Lynn Sloniker's young son is living
oh,
there.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, good. No, I talked to them, too, and they were citing your shop across the way. And it was kind of a classic move, I think, they made because they had a house up there.
Right, the publishers.
Like you.
Right.
Many people who start out as part-time or weekenders end up finally moving here.
Well, especially once you've established something like a press, you can bring it anywhere. So why not move where the costs are just... As high as Warren Street is, it's nothing compared to Manhattan, you know? I mean, like, who
right.
needs that kind of price? You know, that's just very hard to sustain, especially the way Manhattan's, you know,
well, and I can't imagine they warehouse their books there in
No, that's usually not done.
In New York.
Yeah.
Because that would be really high-priced.
But yep. going back to your original statement about the prosperity of Hudson, I think we're on a very good trend, but I still think there's lots of things we can still do in Hudson to
mm-hmm.
make things better. Get the, you know, as you mentioned, the side streets could make
well,
those grow
you know,
a little bit. And
I hate to revert to talk of my failed campaign, but you know, one of the things that I constantly heard was just the people who feel left out of this whole transformation, and it's largely you know parts of the North Side, certainly much of the Second Ward and the Fifth Ward. Two very you're in the Fifth, right?
Yeah.
Although the Fifth Ward. Is changing dramatically, demographically, I've noticed. We encountered so many younger people than we expected moving into the Fifth Ward. And even the younger the children of the people who were there previously, who have a very different attitude towards the New Hudson. You know, they like it. You know, like your own daughters, even though they don't live there. But there are others who have stayed there and are really excited about the way Hudson's changed. Second Ward, of course, is underprivileged largely, and you know, it's hard to figure out how they can feel part of this, because you can't say to them, oh, by the way, this new economy is providing the tax base that helps all this happen in your neighborhood, the good things in your neighborhood. It's very hard.
But it's hard to see that, yeah.
They actually see services falling off.
I know. And there are no businesses in those neighborhoods.
That's totally frustrating to them. Because, you know, it'd be hard. I mean, like everybody, we're like a grocery store, but it's probably not going to happen anywhere in the city proper. What I found is that one issue that would be more sensible is figuring out how people in that neighborhood who don't have cars, which is a large part of the neighborhood, can get better transportation to the shops on Fairview. I mean, people down there have a hard time shopping. That bus that does exist runs so slow and so infrequently.
But the only thing to that, I think what hurt the buses, is the taxi, there's quite a few more taxi companies in Hudson than there used to be, and they're still pretty reasonable to get you out into the malls and back. So I'd love to see transportation from Hudson to the shopping malls out in Greenport, but I think it's a tall challenge to do it, and I'm sure people have looked at it because...
They have, and it was done in the past, and it was found to be not, you know, cost-effective. So it's hard.
It is hard, but it was never advertised well.
And it's just as hard to bring a grocery store into Hudson, too.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
You kicking him out, Ellen?
No, I'm not. Not quite. But
it is 5 o'clock.
We're coming to the witching
Bianca.
Hour.
Bianca, dear. We need the news. I can't find the news.
The news is there.
Yeah.
It's there someplace. Any parting words? I hate to kick you out, but I think it's getting to that time.
Yeah, at 5 o'clock we do the news. I'm sorry to listeners, we did not play the news at 4 o'clock because the brilliant young men who were here earlier didn't set it up, and I couldn't find it. Oh, here we go. Instead, we have the brilliant young Bianca. Say hello, Bianca.
Hello.
Bianca is a new employee. Yes, she is one of the few privileged people who actually gets to take home a couple bucks a week from this station.
Can I hand the mic to Kim here for a second?
Oh, that's so cutting. Yeah. Yes, you may, Ellen.
No, I just think I agree with Bob that we're on a really great trend. And I had a customer in yesterday who came in with shopping bags full of things from stores on Warren Street. And she said, oh, yes, I come up from the city once a week and do my shopping up here.
Are you kidding? That's amazing.
Go back. And I thought, well, that's a turnaround.
No, and just for my, say, 27 years in Hudson, and it's every year seems to be getting better. And I just think we can all pull together and kind of keep it going. It's a community event. We're still a small town. And I'd like to know some of my neighbors better. But sometimes in the course of being busy and you just don't get a chance to get out.
Well, maybe if you're home more often. When I went walking the streets, you weren't there. I'm kidding.
No, I saw you. I just turned the lights off.
Oh, dear.
You got my little door hanger, though, I'm sure.
Well, thank you both for coming in, and let's keep the conversation going. Whenever you feel the impulse,
yes.
Let us know.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.